Bibles today and turn to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 17. We're kind of taking a break from the Old Testament, thinking about Thanksgiving. And hopefully you enjoy Thanksgiving as I do. I love to be around family and I love to be around food. And it's always a great time to gather and just enjoy what God has provided. And so hopefully you'll have a great Thanksgiving. But I just want to encourage you and not really give you a warning, but let me remind you that Thanksgiving is more than that. It's about really, truly being thankful for what God has blessed you with. And so hopefully you'll figure this out as we go through Luke chapter 17 about a man that was very thankful, and that you'll leave here today with a thankful heart, recognizing the great blessings that God has poured out in our lives. So let me read to you Luke chapter 17, and this is Jesus in some of his ministry as he makes his way from the place of Galilee, which is in the north, down to the south, which is Jerusalem. So here's what it says, Luke 17, beginning in verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered to a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were not 10 cleansed, but were the 9? There were not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. Father, we come before you. We thank you, Lord, for your power and might and your mercy that you always just bestow upon us that call upon you. Lord, I pray today that you would move mightily in our hearts. Help us to be a thankful people for all the blessings that you have poured out in the past and yet have yet to pour out in the future. Lord, I pray today that we would just recognize that you are the true giver of every good gift. Now, Lord, be with me in my distractions. Remove those things that would hinder me from being in touch with you. Remove those things that would cause me not to say those things that are necessary and needful. And Lord, let me speak with boldness and authority that you have laid from these pages on our hearts to simply do your will. Thank you, Lord, for that promise that when your word is read, it might come back void. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. Well, I found this. Let me read it to you. Thanksgiving is an emotional holiday. People travel thousands of miles to be with people they only see once a year and then discover once a year is way too often. Now, I like Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a fantastic time. It is an American tradition in one sense. You can go back to 1623 and think about the Pilgrims and that first Thanksgiving they had with the Native Americans there. Just the great time there. And then you can move maybe to 1789 with General George Washington, who became president and made a declaration of Thanksgiving for the United States of America. And then in 1816, when actually New York was one of the first states to declare a Thanksgiving time. You could get on and on and on, maybe in the Civil War in 1863 when President Lincoln declared the final Thursday of every November would be Thanksgiving Day. And that continued on until 1939 and actually 1941 when the president finally declared the fourth Thursday every month would be this national holiday. Thanksgiving is a great time in America, but it goes so much further than that. It's not really even an American tradition when you get down to the very bottom. It is a Christian tradition that we recognize that the Lord above is the giver of every good gift. And then we recognize that true Thanksgiving always starts with the Lord. And so this week, as you think about Thanksgiving, let it be with a different light, how God has blessed and blessed and blessed. But it all starts with the Lord above. Matter of fact, that's how we start the story in Luke chapter 17 with the Lord. So notice some things in this passage that really speak about Thanksgiving. Think about this passage and also think about us. Here's the first thing. There's the coming of the Savior. The coming of the Savior. When you recognize quickly that verse 11 speaks about how we find Jesus always on the move. Matter of fact, we know this. Matthew chapter 8 verse 20 says, and Jesus said unto them, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. He is always on the move. He doesn't stay in one spot very long before he goes and does something else. And so Jesus finds himself going to a certain place. So notice, as he comes, notice the place that Jesus went in verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. I want you to recognize that his home area, his hometown, you may say, his mission place was around Capernaum on the Lake of Galilee. And now, several times a year, if you read the book of John, that he goes back and forth to Jerusalem for those feast days. Evidently, it's getting time for the feast, so he's heading back now. But instead of going way around, he goes straight south and goes to a place called Samaria. Let me remind you, Samaria was not a good place because it was filled with Samaritans. Now, you may not understand all that, but they did not like the Jews, and the Jews did not like them. Matter of fact, if you back up in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 9, let me read you just a few verses to kind of set the tone. They're fixing to go back through Samaria again, but earlier in the chapter. And it came to pass, when his time was come, that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered to a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, will we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit you are, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to a different village. And so Jesus in Luke chapter 9 was going to go through Samaria, and the Samaritan said, no, we don't like you guys. Now you say, why am I saying all that? I just want you to recognize that those guys have rejected Jesus, but Jesus still goes to them. They had turned their face against Jesus, and yet we find him coming back through again and again and again and again. The good news is for us today that maybe you have rejected him in some way. Maybe you have turned from him. Maybe once you were a strong believer but backed away. The good news is Christ is still ready and willing and to come to you and simply receive you back. He had a place to go, which is Samaria, but now notice the purpose Jesus had in verse 12. As he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers. The footprints of Jesus are never an accident. Yes, I said he wandered from place to place, but not by accident. He always has a purpose. He always has a plan. If you read some of the other Gospels, Mark chapter 1, verse 38, he begins to talk about his plan. He said, let us go to the next town that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. His plan was to preach. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. His plan was to be a ransom. Luke 19, 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost. And so just know this, that Christ has a plan to meet people where they are. He has a purpose to be that thing that they need the most, which is himself, to show care and love as only as Christ can give that. He does not care so much about where you've been in your life, but where you are going. As these men were wasting away, as these men were outcasts, Jesus still came to them. Even in their idea of being a Samaritan, Jesus still came forth to them. Why? Jesus would go anywhere, that lame legs would walk, that blind eyes would look upon him, that deaf ears would listen, that hurting hearts would be healed, that dead men would live. Just know if you're here today, that same Jesus that came for them also comes for you. He also comes for us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 Timothy chapter 2 says this, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God and our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. I'm telling you, the coming of the Savior is for men to be saved. The coming of Christ in our life is for us to be saved. That is the coming of the Savior. But it doesn't stop there. Notice the second point. There's the condition of the sick. The condition of the sick. Again, verse 12, and as he entered to a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. So he takes that journey, he enters to this village, and there meets him these 10 guys. Now, they were lepers, the Bible says, and so let me remind you some things about them. One, they were wasting away. If you read about leprosy, that's from a bacteria, mycobacteria lepra, it is a terrible disease. It usually starts at one little spot on you, maybe a little white spot, but the spot spreads. And it's not a disease that really hurts or anything. Matter of fact, what it does, it deadens the nerves in the infected place. So maybe you got it in your hand and you really know much, but you just know that when you touch the hot pan on the fire, you don't feel it, and so you don't recognize the burn that you had there. Can you imagine touching a hot stove for a minute or two because you didn't realize it was hot? You pull your hand back, and you say, oh my goodness, look at this. And so it gets infected, and then your fingers rot off. Maybe it's in your ear, and you cut your ear, and you don't know it, and it gets infected. Or your nose, and so the disease slowly eats the body away because of these secondary infections. Can you imagine the sight of these people? Well, they look at leprosy, and of course the Bible speaks about sin and compares it to leprosy because that's how sin is in our life. I'm sure nobody out there today has leprosy. I don't think you do anyway, but it's okay if you do. We'll still love you, but we do have sin. And what sin does, the same way as leprosy, starts small, that little bitty spot, and begins to eat away our life. It robs us of our joy, our blessings, our closeness to our family. I'm telling you, as a pastor, you don't know how many times I've met with people that had a little sin in their life that consumed them, that had made them separate from all their family. It had eaten their life away, that little small sin. So they were wasting away, but secondly, they were withdrawn from everybody. Notice what it says, they stood afar off. They were outcast from society, from friends, from even in worship. And we find that going back to the Old Testament, they had to be set apart, not for the good, but for the bad. Leviticus chapter 13 says this, verse 45, speaking about the conditions of leper. By the way, they used two whole chapters in Leviticus to describe leprosy and what it does and what needs to be done about. Two whole chapters. So Leviticus 13 says, and the leper in the village whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head is bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, unclean, unclean, all the days when the plague shall be in him. And he shall be defiled, he is unclean, he shall dwell alone, without the camp shall his habitation be. Numbers chapter 5, verse 2 through 4 says this, command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper, everyone that has an issue, whoever's defiled by the dead. And so there's a lot of pictures that if you had leprosy, you had to go to the priest would diagnose it, and then you were put outside the camp all by yourself. Matter of fact, if anyone came near you, you would have to say, unclean, unclean. And people will avoid you like the plague, no pun intended. They had to stay away. Now you say, well, is that bad? Well, let me just tell you, as a pastor in COVID era, seeing people in the hospital that cannot have friends and family around, the greatest tragedy was not having COVID and even passing away, but being in the hospital all by yourself without any loved ones around you. I've talked to many people with a greater hurt from that than from the actual disease itself. Every single day, they went around by themselves saying, unclean, stay away. Now, these 10 guys happened to get together. I guess misery loves company. I'm not sure that was really that they were supposed to do that, but they did. And so we find this disease pulling them and pushing them away of everybody. And so they were simply withdrawn. But thirdly, notice they were worthless. Worthless to the world. You may say, worthless to everybody. Matter of fact, I'm telling you today, our problem is that Satan still whispers that to us today. You may be looking good this morning, thinking everything is fine, but deep down inside, you feel worthless because the world around you has made you feel that way. They speak about you, and they say things about you, and you feel terrible. You put all the nice clothes on, and you think everything's fine. Matter of fact, I'm sure someone listening on the TV is going to say, man, that's me. The world whispers, and Satan whispers. Let me remind you, they'll tell you all kind of things, but they are lies. And that great enemy, the Satan himself, whispers in your ear, you guys just got to recognize that. He'll say that you are worthless and nobody cares. Matter of fact, Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 44, speaking about those guys like that, you are the father of the devil, the lust of your father ye will do. For he was a murderer, speaking about Satan, from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, for he is a liar and a father of it. So the idea is that the world comes to you and Satan comes to you and it lies to you, saying you are worthless. Don't listen to the eyes of the enemy. Jesus said in Luke 12, are not five sparrows sold for two farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, you are more valued than many sparrows. These guys felt so worthless, I'm sure. And so maybe in today you are too. But I want you to recognize this. And I've showed you this before, but I think it's important to show you again in this context that we are valuable in the eyes of God. Matter of fact, I got a brand new $20 bill. Hey, who would like to have this? I got a couple takers back there. Now, last time I had a $100 bill, but it's the recession, so I got a $20 bill. Amen. But man, what's wrong with a $20? Even you want a $20 bill, man, you could take your wife out for maybe a sweet tea or something like that. Amen. But I have found a winner right here. Amen. Hey, you want that, don't you? Good. Now what happens if I took out my pen? I know you ain't supposed to deface money, but maybe I put a couple of marks right here. Draw a little tree on it. You still want that, man? Why? Because sometimes the marks in our life make us feel worthless. Sometimes the little sins in our life make us feel worthless, and we say, oh, nobody cares about me. And yet my man right here still wants his $20 bill. What if I dropped it on the ground and stomped on it a little bit? You still want it, don't you, man? Why? You hear what he said? This man got a mind for money. It's still $20. What if I crumple this thing all up? One did just right here and say, you still want this thing? Why? It is still worth $20. And let me just tell you, the Lord sees us in our crumpled up state, our marked up state, our stepped on state, our beat up state, and says, man, enjoy. He sees that and loves us beyond all of our terrible things, our sins, our iniquities, our shortcomings, our hurts, when the world tells us how bad we are. That's us. And yet the Father's still after us. He is still coming for us. Why? Because we are of great value in his eyes. He is our creator. He's the one that loves us. He's the one that cares about us. And Jesus is on the move trying to find people that he can redeem and save. He truly loves them. Matter of fact, you say, that's not me. God could not love me. Romans chapter 5 says this, verse 8. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. The question today is not whether God sees value in us, but do we see value in God? He is truly there for us. He truly desires that we be made whole. He truly wants us to be in his arms. So the story continues, the coming of the Savior, the condition of the sick, but now the cry from the sick in verse 13. And they lifted up the voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. I want you to see the first thing, that there's the recognition of Jesus. Master. Now, this is not the word kurios or some other word. It's not the word teacher. It is epistase in the native language or the original language. And it means the one who has authority, one who has power. It's like the general. They recognize something about Jesus. I'm not sure they'd ever seen before, but I guarantee you they'd heard the stories. I guarantee you they'd heard about Matthew chapter 8, one of my favorite stories, when there was a leper coming around and Jesus and his disciple walking down the road, and they see the leper, and Jesus walks up to the leper and touches him and makes him clean. And all those around them says, here's a man that can cleanse and heal the lepers. I'm telling you, that story was out there. And when these guys hear that Jesus is coming, they didn't recognize Jesus, they said, Master. We got to get to a point today where we trust who Christ is. They recognized him as the one that could help. They recognized him as the one that had power and authority. I think today we look at Jesus as one, as a maybe a genie in the bottle, a lucky charm, or a get out of jail card. We think, man, I just pick up Christ when I'm in trouble or I'm in need. I just pick him up just for a moment, and then when I get through, I'll discard him and go about my way. Now, let me remind you, it's a good thing in one sense. There's a flare prayer. I'm going to get to that. Christ wants you to call upon him, but he wants you to say, Master. He wants you to recognize who he is, because through that recognition, there is great power. Master, they recognize him, but now they request for help. They lifted up their voices. Can you hear that dry, raspy sound as they call for help? Maybe their throats had been almost eaten away, but they still had enough unction to simply lift their voice and cry. There's just something about this idea of crying out to the Father. There's always these pictures given to the Bible that if we'll just cry out and truly believe. You know, prayers are just like that. I mentioned that flare prayer. I'm a big believer. You ought to be a people of prayer on a regular basis. You ought to have a clear, constant communication. Pray every day. Pray in every place. Pray as you go. Pray for one another. There's so many great pictures in the Bible about praying. And again, I mentioned that flare prayer, so let me remind you again what that is. You get in a bind and you call out, you just send up that flare and say, Lord, I need some help. Nothing wrong with that, but don't let it stop right there. They truly call out and pray. You say, well, the Lord may not hear my prayers. Well, he may not. Listen to this. If there's unrighteousness or iniquity in your heart, the psalmist said in this, Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Isaiah 59:2, but your iniquities have separated you between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. But let me take it a step further. There is none righteous, no, not one. He does not hear the righteous because we're all unrighteous, but he surely hears the repentant that leads to righteousness. James said in James chapter 5, verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. And so we must recognize and understand who the Lord is and call out and ask him to help us to forgive our sins and to help us in our times of great need. That's exactly what these guys are doing. We recognize how good God is. So many times we have this thought, well, yes, I know God is all powerful, but does he care about me? And the answer is, yes, he does. In the Old Testament, Exodus 34, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. Enough goodness for all, you may say. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 31, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy father which you swear unto them. Micah 7:18, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passes by the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage and retaineth not his anger forever because he delights in mercy. I'm telling you, we serve a God that loves us and cares about us and desires to extend his mercy to draw us back in. God is so good. Well, here's the fourth thing. Not just the coming of the Savior and the condition of the sick and the cry from the sick, but now the command to share. I want you to see first that Jesus doesn't show up and snap his fingers and cleanse them. He doesn't even go to them and touch them like he did in Matthew chapter 8. But notice, there was a request by Jesus in verse 14, a request by Jesus. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. Go show yourselves unto the priest. Notice the first command again was not leprosy, be gone. And so I wonder, have you ever asked the Lord for something and he gave you a different word than you were expecting? Maybe you've asked for some specific thing, and it seems that the Lord's not giving you that specific thing right now, but something else is in the midst that's going on. Just trust him. And whatever the Lord is leading, follow that. Sometimes, I just want you to know this, sometimes God's blessings are based on a condition of obedience. I'm not talking about salvation. Now, please get past that. But I'm telling you, there's a time in your life when God's saying, do this. And if you fail to do that, you're going to miss a great blessing, or somebody else will. And so in life, sometimes God's blessings are based on a condition of obedience. I'm reminded about our country because we're a people that seem to have turned from God, as the nation of Israel did. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. There is a request by Jesus to go show yourselves to the priest. I'm telling you, we need to recognize and understand that God gives us a word that we should follow. Now, notice this response by the lepers. One, they could have said, nope, I am not going down there. Man, I'm not going to Jerusalem. Jesus, those people, they're Jews down there. We're Samaritans. That we don't get along so good. I'm not going, Jesus. Guess what? No blessing. Maybe there's they're going to say no because of a chance of condemnation, a chance to be ridiculed, a chance to be stoned. By the way, if the leper comes in the camp and they have leprosy, they would be stoned to death. I'm not doing that. I'm going to sit here and abide in my leprosy. I'm not going in that direction. I am fearful for my life. Why should we go? We've not even been healed yet. Why make an effort, Lord? He said, go show yourself to the priest. That was the law in the Old Testament. Why? Because when you got to the priest, they would do the inspection and pronounce you either clean or unclean. That was just the law. If you were clean, then there's a ritual that you went through, and then you were reinstated with your family. Why go yourself to the priest? Well, one, just like I said, to reinstate you. But secondly, to be a testimony to the priest. Can you imagine? Because somebody had to pronounce him unclean. Can you imagine the priest saying, well, about 10 years ago or 5 years ago, I declared you had leprosy, and now you come back to me and you're healed? Who did this? The Lord above, a man named Jesus, told me to go, and lo and behold, I am healed. The Lord gets all the praise. In our life, sometimes the command that God gives us might not make sense, but God always has this plan that his name may be honored and glorified. And so this man's going to be restored back to his family, hopefully, but also is going to raise a testimony that Jesus had done something that nobody else but Jesus could do. Now, I wonder, before we move any further, I wonder if the Lord's called you to do something that you may not feel comfortable about doing. Maybe God's called you to ministry. Maybe God's called you to witness. Maybe God's called you to do this or that. And you say, oh, Lord, I'm not real sure about that. I wonder, will you have enough faith just to follow the commands of Christ, just to follow the Word of God, just be obedient to what the Lord has? There are so many examples in the Bible where the Lord asked the people to do something, and then some great miracle happens after obedience is done. I keep thinking about Joshua. Remember Joshua, they're going to the promised land, and Joshua is told by the Lord, take this ark and those priests, and when they carry the ark and they step in the Jordan River is going to dry up and you're going to pass by, but only until you do that. And so by faith, they took the ark and the priests, and they walked into the Jordan River, and it dries up. But not before. So I'm telling you today, maybe God's calling you to make a step of faith. You may not feel comfortable walking down the aisle. You may not feel comfortable. Maybe it's a confession. You may not feel comfortable doing that. But I'm telling you, when you're obedient to the command that Christ has given you, some type of blessing always follows. There are verse after verse after verse. Notice what they did. As they went, they were cleansed. That word is katharizo in the original language there. It means they were healed. They were made whole. It's amazing. Can you imagine? It doesn't say this, but I'm just telling you, if you look at the word, it seems like things were making a rebound. Maybe fingers were growing. Maybe noses were coming back. Maybe ears were reappearing. I don't know. But I do know this. As they went, they were cleansed. And so we need to be a people that are going for the Lord time and time again. That leads me to the next point, the confession of the saved. Verse 15 says, and one of them, when he saw they was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Notice first, there's the hearty praise of the healed. He gave thanks with a loud, booming voice. He is not ashamed to share how good that is. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 8 and 9 says, "Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works." There is an Old Testament command that is simply saying, when God blesses, when God does something, you ought to give praise about what he's done in your life. And this man gets that. He turns back and gives God praise. Psalms 145:3 says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." This man recognizes when he sees the things that have happened to him. I wonder today, can you say the same thing? Have you noticed all your blessings? And has it made you turn back to the Lord? You know, sometimes we say preacher stuff like, "Count your many blessings, name them one by one." But let me remind you, that's not preacher stuff. That's stuff we ought to all really be doing. Think about what God has done in your life and how he's blessed you. If you're here today, I'm telling you, God is truly blessed. If you don't think so, take a trip to Mexico or Honduras and some of those places. I promise you, you'll leave that with a renewed sense that God has blessed us beyond belief. This man turns back and he's counted his blessings. But not only does he give a hearty praise, but now notice the humbleness of the healed. He falls down at the feet of Jesus. If you go back to verse 12, remember, they are far away. They stood afar off. And Jesus speaks afar off to them. But now he's at the feet of Christ. When this man recognized what has happened, he now has permission. He now can enter in this small little area. He bows down, he humbles himself and recognizes and gives honor and praise, not just with his voice, but with his life, this humbleness of the man. But then the story takes a turn. There's the hard saying by Jesus in verse 17 and 18. Can you see the picture? There, this man, he's come down, he's bowed down, he's given praise. And notice verse 17, "And Jesus answering and said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Now, I always feel bad for this guy that came back, amen. I could just see Jesus, "Hey, where's your brothers at? Where's the rest of them at? Where's the 9 at? Wasn't there 10? Sometimes I think about our lives and how sometimes we seem we're in a tight spot. The Lord asked the question not for his information, he knows where they are, but for our contemplation. Where are the others who have been blessed? Jesus is not really addressing that man, but really addressing me and you. So many times in the Bible we think about the different sins. If you read Romans chapter 1, man, if you get past verse 18, they list a load of sins there. I mean, wickedness, homosexuality, all kind of things that are bad. But in one of those verses, in verse 21, it says, "Neither were they thankful." One of the great sins of our time is being unthankful. Why? Well, maybe we're like the other 9. Maybe we're like forgetful Frank. He's already forgotten how he was blessed by the Lord. Woe is me when I compare myself to others. I look at some of the others out there, the Lord's not blessed me like them. I can only see where I'm not blessed, and I've forgotten sometimes the blessings that God has placed in my life. I wonder, are we forgetful Frank? That's one of the 9. How about backslidden Bert? Maybe coming, instead of going back to the priest and then going back to Jesus, instead he goes back to the leper colony. Can you imagine that? As they went, they were healed. And yet I wonder, did old backslidden Bart go back to the leper colony? Man, I had it good when I was in the leper colony. People just, we just did what we want to. Sometimes people get saved, and then they turn somehow and find themselves in the old crowd again, living like the devil themselves. Backslidden Bart. How about Shy Sam? Maybe Shy Sam didn't come back because, you know, he was too afraid to lift his voice. He was too afraid to share praises. He was too afraid to acknowledge. Somebody may hear me. Somebody may condemn me. Somebody may laugh at me for praising the Lord. You say, oh, not me. Well, when you go to the restaurant today, I wonder, will you simply say that quiet little prayer or not say it at all? I was with a man that I thought much of in my younger years growing up, strong believer. And we were in a crowded restaurant. I was probably 20 years old or so. And as the meal was served, he said this. I've never forgot it. He said, there's a lot of people in here today. Let's just say the prayer to ourselves. Now, I was more than happy to do that because I was shy myself. But I've learned that's not what the Lord wants. When we pray, we're giving thanks to God, and it's a testimony to the Lord above. Don't be Shy Sam. Maybe Lazy Larry had a problem because he couldn't get back over there. He got healed, decided to lay down for a little bit, couldn't get up for Sunday school, amen. Couldn't get back for worship. By the way, we come together as a community, a corporate time of worship to say, thank you, Lord. As a body of believers, the worship time is not about us. It's about giving thanks to the Lord. Maybe it's Sammy Self. Sammy Self is all about me. Well, if it doesn't promote me or help me or I'm not for it, you can do Thanksgiving all by yourself. I'm going to do my thing. Maybe it was Will Worker. Oh, I got my job now. I can't go back. Maybe it's Ted tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll give praise. Maybe it's busy travel ball Bob. Amen. I'm telling you, nothing wrong with sports. I love sports. But if you're not careful, we're going to raise a generation of people that have lost sight of the priority of coming to a corporate worship because they've been on the ball field on every Sunday morning. There's a danger there. We get our focus off the Lord. How about prioritizing Pete? Oh, man, if there's nothing better to do, man, I'll go. If not, then I'm going to do my thing. I wonder what the Lord would call you. Are you one of the nine? Are you that one that simply came back and shared and praised the good Lord above? Well, here's the last one you're looking for. I know I've been kind of long, but listen to this. There's the coming of the Savior. There's the condition of the sick, the cry, the command, the confession. But lastly, the congratulations by the Savior. Verse 19 says, and he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. All Jesus said, go that way. I bet he took a different path. I bet he didn't go back to the leper colony. I bet he didn't go to the old ways. I bet he went that new way with the Lord. And then he says, thy faith has made thee whole. Sozo in the Greek there. Complete. I'm telling you today, that's what we long for, to be complete in Christ. And you will never be made whole until you first come to Christ Jesus. The Bible says in chapter 2 of Ephesians, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Let me just tell you, his walking didn't make him whole. He'd walked a many mile before he met Jesus. His going toward Jerusalem didn't make him whole. He'd been to Jerusalem plenty of times, I'm sure, this old leper. But when he finally met the Savior and followed him, when he finally just surrendered to what God wanted him to do, just the act of faith, man, he was made whole. I'm telling you, if you're here today and that's what you need, why not come to Christ Jesus? Why not recognize the plan that God has for you, that he's working all things out for good in your life, that you may follow him to the end? He has such a desire to do good in your life if you'll only say yes to the Lord above. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes just for a moment. Think about your life. Maybe you're here today, and there's all kind of things going on. You may deny this idea about you being a leper. That may be true, but one thing you cannot deny, that you are a sinner that needs to be saved, redeemed, forgiven, changed day by day by day by day. So if you're here today, meet the Savior that's able to do all that. Meet the Savior that has a desire to do that. That was his purpose, that he states himself that he came to save and seek the lost. If you're here today, why not respond to that? You can do it right where you sit this morning and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need you. I need forgiveness. I need help. Lord, my life's a mess. Please help me. And watch him work. But like that one leper that came back, why not come forward? For you walking the aisle, people will surely pray for you, encourage you, and be a blessing to you. Maybe today it's this idea of church membership. God wants you in this place. Maybe it's just praying in this altar. Maybe it's just confessing a sin. Maybe it's just a call of prayer. Maybe it's praying for somebody else. Whatever it is, don't miss an opportunity to give thanks to the Father above. Lord Jesus, we love you, we thank you, we praise you for all that you've done. What you're going to do, we give you even more praise. Lord, move in our midst, tug at our hearts. Let us be found a people that will always do your will. Bless today. Again, we say thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.